1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House is condemning the violence and anti-Semitism at pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We are going to be really forceful here and continue to underscore how anti-Semitism is hateful speech. It is wrong. It is abhorrent. And we're going to continue to call that out.
UCLA canceled classes today after a massive fight broke out between dueling protests. Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Israel today pushing for a ceasefire with Hamas ahead of a planned ground invasion in Gaza. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
After the meeting today, the Prime Minister's office released a statement saying that the operation in Rafah is not conditional on anything, implying that it's going to go ahead.
The Federal Reserve held interest rates steady today. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
We do not expect that it will be appropriate to reduce the target range for the federal funds rate until we have gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Law enforcement says an active shooter threat has been neutralized outside a middle school in Mount Horeb, just west of Madison. The person was detained outside the building. Nobody was hurt except the alleged assailant. An emergency alert was sent to phones in the community late in the morning that warned people about the situation. Donald Trump campaigning in Waukesha, downplaying charges against him in a series of indictments that have kept him off the campaign trail.
Well, you know, they're trying this weaponization of the Justice Department stuff. So far, that hasn't been working too well because we have the highest poll numbers we've ever had. People get it.
The Emerson College survey finds 47% of registered voters in Wisconsin support Donald Trump, while 45% back President Biden when the two go head to head. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's inland fishing opener is this weekend, Saturday, May 4th. Anglers should expect good conditions when they take to the waters for the opener. The Wisconsin DNR says fisheries statewide are good. After an abnormally mild winter, ice was off Wisconsin waters, the earliest in recorded history. Experts say walleye will be hungry after their spring spawning and suggest that panfishing anglers target areas of the lake with the warmest water and near areas with new aquatic plant growth. The best spot for walleye close by is shore fishing along County Highway A below the Nakusa Dam. Panfish, bass, and northern pike can be found in Nepco Lake. Remember, all Wisconsin residents and non-residents over the age of 16 are required to purchase a fishing license. Unlike other counties, there are no changes to the bag and length limit in Wood County. The statewide bag limit is 3 walleye or sauger per day on all inland waters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get into a brawl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Rays 8-2, but it wasn't easy. Top of the eighth, Tampa Bay's Jose Siri at the plate as both benches cleared for a fight on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
On the ground, first base, Hoskins flips to Uribe. One up, one down, Siri retired. Siri exchanging some words, and here we go. Oh, boy, that's not what you want to see. Bullpen's empty, Abner Uribe.
Now, early in the game, Brewers pitcher Freddie Peralta ejected, along with manager Pat Murphy, thrown out for a second night in a row.
I'm not sure what went on with all that. I really am not. You know, all I can say is I'm glad nobody got seriously hurt.
NBA, the Bucks overcome some obstacles and beat the Pacers 115-92 to stay alive, 3-2. Doc Rivers on the win.
I did walk off the floor and I said, we're coming tonight. And I told our coaches that. I said, I don't know if we're going to win, but we're coming to play and win tonight. You can feel it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
And on good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be the middle, especially for her. It had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
Windy today. with gusts peaking at 40 miles per hour under partly sunny skies. High temperatures will reach the mid-60s and by tomorrow become much cooler into the upper 50s. This as showers and thunderstorms strike early in the morning and linger throughout most of the day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, a Navy veteran running for state assembly is the focus of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this May 1st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We want to welcome into the studio our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Good to see you, sir.
Always a pleasure to be here, James.
Appreciate the time. Want to send a big shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, doing such great work for us. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on the great work that they're doing. Sean, it's been a while since you and I got to hang out. I imagine you got quite a few notes.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I've been busy the last couple months, so I appreciate you bringing Quentin Ellison. He had the opportunity to come and spend some time with you, and then Ted and Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to see them get the opportunity to come in again and just talk about, you know, their careers. It's a pretty proud moment. I know Ted Sr. is, but for me, being part of the team and just to see that happen, it's pretty cool.
Always enjoy talking with you. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about that over the years is getting to understand our departments more, mm-hmm. and some of the people in them, putting a face to these departments and stuff. Yeah. It's not only, I think, created more of a bridge and more empathy in our community, but it's just interesting, too. And I think that it's always good to have that knowledge and stuff. So it's been a great time to be able to bring those guests on, but it's also good to have you in studio, especially, sir, if you don't mind, I'd like to start off with the scam and the news of that. That seems to hit a little close to home for you guys.
You ain't quitting call me, sir.
I don't know why I do that. I know. I don't know why I do that. It's uncomfortable for both of us. It's
am I that old?
No. It's a respect thing. It's growing up being a knucklehead and seeing that badge. I think that's part of it, man.
Okay,
it's
we'll go with that. Yeah, the scammers are out there that will try anything and everything, and it's sad. You know, it really is, because obviously it's working in some circumstances where what was happening, as I mentioned, Quentin Ellis was here last month. Somebody's using his name and going there and saying, I'm Quentin Ellis, trying to solicit money. It's just, it's sad. And the unfortunate thing is where you're seeing that elderly population get victimized, you know, well, way too often. We had a situation we put on our Facebook page where we got a thank you letter from an elderly person up in the north end of our county that had got Bitcoin scammed again. And our approach is pretty aggressive on how we're going to handle those. Not all law enforcement agencies do what we do, but once that person gets victimized and they put that amount of cash, which is thousands of dollars, like 20-some thousand dollars into that machine, and our district attorney, our corp counsel, all agree that that cash is still evidence and still in that machine, so we can get it. And I know we talked about it before. That the approach that we took is like, if you don't open the machine up for us, we're going to destroy it and recover that money. And because I believe that our victims here in Wood County owe that. Because most of the time what's happening is that money's gone.
Yeah.
It is gone. And the cryptocurrency is growing so fast, I don't think the laws have caught up to it yet. But with that situation in particular, it's it was nice that we got another successful resolution where that elderly couple got their money back, which was, you know, probably their life savings.
Yeah.
You know, $20,000 is a lot of money for any of us here in the room, and we were able to recover that for them. And she sent us a thank you letter, and that was that means a lot, you know, not just because she got the money back, but she put in her letter, I learned a hard lesson, you know, that people are calling me and telling me to go to these, you know, these ATMs that do the cryptocurrency. And normally that money is gone, but we still have that chance right now to get it back. And since we destroyed one of the ATMs, the words got out. And if we, you know, serve a warrant to that company, they're opening it up for us.
Yeah.
So we're getting that cooperation, and that is appreciated. But we're going to continue to take that approach in those situations to help people get their money back. Because normally, you know, so many people get scanned, you know, by thousands upon thousands of dollars, and once it leaves the country, the odds of getting it back are very, very slim. And it's very sad to see, you know, our elderly population getting scammed more and more. My dad, who's 83 years old now, down in Florida, he says, you know, he gets phone calls periodically, and he still has his wits about him, and he'll play along with them. And like, hey, your daughter is in jail right now, and we need you to, you know, bail her out. And she says, well, oh, okay. I have a daughter, play along with that.
Yeah,
but the sad reality is that it's unfortunately working, and it's a reminder for people to, you know, we're not going to solicit people for money. You know, if we have, you're going to know about an event, like if it's a fundraiser for our canine unit, you're going to hear from us directly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we'll talk about a fundraiser coming up in June that we're going to put on in Anchor Bay, but you're going to know about that. And then the other thing too is, call back, call in, just say, hey, I just got this. And that's how we found out about what happened with Quinn, that somebody was using his name to solicit money. And then we just get the reminder out to people that we don't do that.
I had somebody first above and beyond on you and the department to get that money back, to do what you could to try to make that happen, let alone accomplishing it. That's way above and beyond. I greatly appreciate that. It's also noteworthy because I've heard a lot of reporting on this. This story broke a couple of days ago, so by now it's been talked about quite a bit by most of the masses and local news outlets. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a number of outlets call this bold to do this out of the wood, you know, having you, the department involved in this scam and stuff and using the department and all this.
Yeah.
It's we got to go back to what words mean.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bold. That there is there's no, you know, braveness involved in that or anything like that. It actually speaks to the criminal mind quite a bit, where there can be so much intelligence and thought and at the same time such boneheaded dumbness of things. It's that it speaks to that more than anything else, along with the fact, of course, that they're desperate, these scammers. They're running, their options are getting limited more and more. It doesn't mean that they're still not as powerful as they've been. They're always finding a nook and cranny to go into. But if they're using a sheriff's department as a front, that tells you a lot right there. They're getting desperate and more and more so, which means we've got them cornered, which means we've got this more and more where we want it to be as a society. There's still work to be done. Please do not take your eye off the ball. And, you know, any of these calls you get, no manager, no organization is ever going to have a problem with, well, I'd like to talk to the boss.
Exactly.
Nobody's ever going to have a problem with that. That's your golden ticket right there, that question.
Yep.
Hanging up, not answering the phone, some of these things.
Yeah, hang up. You know, I recommend, because I've gotten some phone calls like this where people are upset, where, hey, I got a phone call saying such and such is in jail and they need bond money. And obviously people are falling for it because, unfortunately, that does happen. Those phone calls do happen. Normally they'll collect calls that come in, but sometimes they're not. And unfortunately, people bite on that. But what I always say is, all right, hang up the phone, call that, you know, whatever law enforcement agency it is, and then try to confirm that information. Just don't go through saying, hey, I'm going to forward you this money, like, right now. unfortunately, like I said, it does happen where those are legit phone calls, but the scammers are scammers. They're looking for any opportunity where they can get money out of somebody, and they don't care. You know, it doesn't matter to them how much they get.
If a person does receive a questionable call or what turns out to be a scammer, what is the first thing they should do
again? Call us. And what I would do is call local law enforcement wherever it's happened. And then if it's something that is personal, like they'd figure out, a granddaughter or a grandson's name or a son's name, and they know that they've traveled. I mean, maybe they stalked you on Facebook, all right, and grabbed some information to personalize it. Still, I would, take the information in and then call that place back wherever they're reporting that they might be in custody and to verify that.
We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker, and I wanted to get into, we have right around the corner, Mother's Day coming up. Wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, we had a really, really nice thing come up last week where a local person in our community that wants to remain anonymous had an idea when he was going to his church that he had read a book that somebody had lived by a prison and was just driving by the prison like a normal everyday thing and had a thought of like, you know what? You know, Mother's Day is coming. I wonder if the inmates get the opportunity to send out cards to their mom. And they wrote about it in part of a chapter of this book. And he was touched by that. And then he gave me a call. And we do have some protocol about what can and cannot come into the jail. And initially we're like, I don't know if we do that. That wasn't to me. So he brought his question to me. I'm like, well, absolutely. Why wouldn't we? And then discussing it with our staff, I know we do Christmas cards. So I'm like, well, why wouldn't we do Mother's Day cards, especially if somebody in the community wants to bring them with the stamps and then give inmates the opportunity to send a Mother's Day card? It's a huge day, and so we're going through that. It was nice. What a genuine thing for somebody to do in the community. And he said, you know, next year he had discussed it with some other people in the church that he goes to, and they want to bring more. He's paying attention to what's going on here with their jail, and we'll have more people in our jail. It's like they want to take care of everybody that has, you know, that is in custody, that have the opportunity to send their mom a card. And it's like, that's touching for me because with my mom, you know, passed a long time ago, and I would give any opportunity to send her a card. You know, I would. And I felt that was very touching, that somebody that thought of, you know, people that, you know, made mistakes, you know, but they still have a mom, probably do, you know, and why not reach out and just send a card, you know, love, whatever. Or, hey, I'm thinking of you, Mom, on a day. I'm sorry I'm where I'm at, but I'll do better. You know, what kind of a gift could that be? And like I said, I'm jealous because I would give anything, you know, to do something like that for my mom who's been gone for almost 27 years. You know, but it's a very special day for me because it's a hard day in one sense with my mom, but then I think of, you know, my wife Julie and raising, you know, two of our girls, and how successful Caitlin and Jordan are. Caitlin just got a certificate for her counseling degree or something. She's
right on.
Continuing to help kids down in Madison, cool. But you know, those moments didn't happen if you didn't have a good family structure and especially a very supportive mom. So happy Mother's Day, Julia. I'm proud of you. Love you. And my mother-in-law, Marilee, you know, and to all the mothers, you know, that's your day. You deserve it. And everybody behave, okay?
Yeah. On your best behavior, everyone.
Yeah.
Call your mother.
Definitely.
It's noteworthy, speaking of moms especially, one of the things I learned from mine was that we all mess up. You know, we all make mistakes. And if you own that mistake, you have accountability for that mistake, society will look at you. Society will give you a second chance. Yeah. That's also the point of jail.
Yeah.
I think that now, never on you or your team, of course, but I think to us as a community sometimes, not just a specific community, I mean across the country, across the world, sometimes we lose sight of that.
Yeah.
The jail is not about, it's about accountability. It's not about punishment. It's about rehabbing. It's about, you know, learning from your mistakes, thinking them over, having accountability for them, and going on. To that point, when for a lot of prisoners, when they are actually putting in that hard work of trying to see, why did I do this? How can I be a better human being? How can I not end up back here? Some of those things. You go through your past. You go through your history. Some of it is also reaching out to people that you've wronged. Some of it is reaching out to people that have done right by you.
Yeah.
So the Mother's Day card idea really goes in line with that, to me at least. Do you feel that way too?
Absolutely.
Because it seems like it goes perfectly in line with that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, no, it was, and you know, inspired from his church, and I love to bring up his name, but he just
I know.
Like, I'm about to say it because I think a lot of people would know him, but I want to honor his request, and it was something that we can build upon. You know, looking at, and we've talked about it numerous times about the jail, and and walking through the new jail, and the opportunities that are going to be in there. We've been doing a lot of community tours with local leadership. Had some folks from the library come in and just showing them the programming rooms. Right now, the current jail only has one that is always being used, and every floor has got them. And just the stuff that they're going to have the opportunity to come and do. And whether it's an art class, they have stuff that they can bring in to for inmates if they want to do an art class. Just the opportunities that the library can bring down for the programming that we want to get, to continue to expand, I think are exciting in a way, especially seeing the community involvement. That's one thing I didn't expect when I started this position is the community support for people that do make mistakes locally. And it really is opened my eyes that, that even though they're people that, like you said, they'll make a mistake, they're going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to deal with the consequences, whether it's time in the facility or pain or both or counseling or all of it. It's part of it. But just the people that want to help, from the faith-based community and beyond that, is just it's pretty neat to see people want to be part of helping people out.
Special shout out to all the moms out there. We appreciate every single one of you. Got some a fun event coming up, a bench press meet that you guys are doing.
With the new facility on the Sheriff's Department side, we're going to have an exercise room, and we've talked a lot about wellness and the mental health side of things for our staff, for our correction staff, and law enforcement staff, the deputies and everything. And I felt it was very important that we had something set aside for an exercise room. That stuff isn't cheap. We budgeted for some things, but I want to make sure we get some decent equipment for the staff to utilize. So we were kicking around, what kind of fundraising can we do? We did have somebody win. We had that calendar raffle that just concluded for our Wood County Rescue. So thank you to everybody that donated to the or purchasing a calendar and a rescue unit. They're awesome. They're volunteers that volunteer and go out to help people out and respond to emergencies 24/7 a day. So that money will go towards a new rescue truck. But anyway, getting to this, sorry, kind of side.
No, that was kind of cool to hear, though. That's interesting.
We had somebody win one of the raffle items, and then they donated it to the Sheriff's Department. So we're doing an internal raffle to raise money for exercise equipment. So the other idea was, okay, we want to do an event or something because everybody's so supportive of us. What could we do to raise some money, have a good time, and get some money for our weight room? And I used to power lift quite a bit, and there had been a lot of bench press competitions throughout the state, probably 5 to 10 years ago. They're really popular even before that. And I'm like, So I was talking to the owners at Anchor Bay about, you guys have a really good setup for bands. What do you think if we had a bench press meet outside? Hopefully the weather's going to be good. And they bit. Like, we'll have the stage utilized. We'll have a bench up there. We'll have our judges up there. So each lifter can come up, and they'll have three lifts and compete. And they'll have different weight classes, age groups. There'll be a police and fire division. So that's going to be June 22nd out at Anchor Bay. We'll start probably getting out there around 10:30. Lifting will start around 11 o'clock. And hopefully we get a lot of competitors. We're looking out for sponsors. So that's going to be the next thing that I'm going to be working on. So if we can you know, get a good chunk of sponsors. We'll raise some money for the fitness room. Like I said, it's so our wellness is so important, and it's I think mind is really important, obviously, but so is the body.
You know, and
working them together and being fit on both ends of it only makes you a better person to support the community. And I wish the exercise room was bigger because I'm just envisioning so many things, but it's a space. We'll be able to get stuff in there, and it'll be a great opportunity for the staff to, you know, before a shift or after a shift workout. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It nobody works out this way. It'd be pretty silly if you worked out just the right side of your body. You know, it'd be kind of weird. It's just one side is really, you know, you're great with arm wrestling and everything on the right side. The left side, no way. You know,
right.
Nobody does that. It's interesting that it's the same thing with our mind and our body. Both need the other, and if one's hurting, the other one isn't doing as well. So taking care of your mental health as much as your physical health are so key to this, and it's a great part of what you and the team are doing over there with something like this, and thinking of something like that to be a part of the jail, and a great promotion idea, man. Like that's my job, is trying to come up with good promotion ideas. I wish I'd have thought of that. That's a great idea.
Well, it's based on some of the experience going back in the day, and then like I said, kicking around with our staff, and then. Like I said, the owners at Anchor Bay were all in, and I thought that was really cool that they'd be willing to do that. And I don't think I've ever been at an outdoor event, so we'll have to have some contingency plans on weather. But I think it'll go really, really well, and we're already getting people signing up. So if we can get around 50 lifters and, you know, 5 to 10 sponsors, I think we'll do really well.
Always like to shout out Anchor Bay. Great people, always putting back into this community, always be a part of events, hosting events. Really do appreciate that they do that.
Yep, the Warders and McAlps are great people.
We'll give the information again before we wrap up today, but if people want to be a part of this, we have businesses out there listening, they want to sponsor or something like that, how can they reach out to you?
We have an event created on our Facebook page, so you can reach out that way, or just give the Sheriff's Department a call directly. Give me a call, 421-8705 is my direct line. I can, you know, email you the entry form with some information, and
imagine there might be some requirements, some details to that, so certainly want to reach out and find out those details. And anybody, any business out there that wants to be a part of an event, we always encourage people to be a part of these kinds of events. There are there's not much that you're going to get better bang for your buck than putting your business attached to a great nonprofit organization. And don't forget that this is something that our departments are like that. So this is just in the same key of that. So if you can be a part of this event, encourage you to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just come on and watch.
Yes. Yeah, you can spread the word about it. We'll be doing that on our morning shows. We'll be encouraging people to make sure you guys get a good crowd.
Awesome.
We are speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker from the Wood County Sheriff's Department, and have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in as well. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back and talk some more on Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger. Something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Home for the Todd Allball Show.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever. Only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police in riot gear have moved in on protesters at the UW-Madison campus. Police started arresting protesters and escorting them off Library Mall after 8 this morning. Hundreds of protesters, mostly students, are calling on the UW to cut ties to Israel. 20% of Americans age 50 and older have not saved for retirement. That's according to new research from the AARP. Spokesman Jim Flaherty says Wisconsin could be more affordable to more seniors.
Let's have an infrastructure that makes drugs affordable, that makes healthcare affordable, that makes retirement savings something that's part of their plan, and that'll keep Wisconsinites here.
57 million Americans don't have access to a retirement plan through work. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Lincoln Street is currently closed near the WRPS district office. If you need to access the old East Junior High School building where the office is located, you'll need to park on 6th Street or in the 6th Street parking lot and walk around to the main entrance on Peach Street. For the Tech Department or Central Oaks office, walk around to the Lincoln Street entrance. Everyone says their dog is special, but a puppy looking for a home at a Kenosha clinic is truly one of a kind. Here's Stuart J. Waddles with the story.
Bella is at the Wisconsin Humane Society location in Kenosha. The puppy was born with five legs with an extremely rare condition called polymelia. X-rays have revealed that Bella has two femurs, two tibias, two fibulas, and nine toes on her hind leg. Despite her unique anatomy, the six-month-old puppy is said to be happy and in good health. The special canine can be seen on the Kenosha campus website.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Comedian actress Amy Schumer put a positive spin on the internet's reaction to her, quote, puffy face. Schumer says it made her insecure at first, but also let her know that something was wrong. Schumer announced in February that she was suffering from Cushing syndrome. The condition can be caused by too much stress, which can release cortisol, making one's face puffy and raising one's blood pressure. Schumer was grateful she caught it early and says she knows her fans will love her, puffy or not. Who doesn't enjoy a movie love scene between a doughy middle-aged man and a young pretty actress? Probably just about everyone, much to the dismay of actor Martin Freeman. The 53-year-old Fargo actor addressed his intimate scenes with 21-year-old Jenna Ortega in Miller's Girl, a dark comedy in which Ortega's character seduces Freeman's character. The reaction on social media was mostly negative. I know, shocking. Miller's Girl is available on demand. Check it out. Being grossed out is a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Windy today, with gusts peaking at 40 miles per hour under partly sunny skies. High temperatures will reach the mid-60s and by tomorrow become much cooler into the upper 50s. This as showers and thunderstorms strike early in the morning and linger throughout most of the day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls, they're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion, the use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at bbb.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates, Donald Trump, and Waukesha. Crudy will be there. He'll bring you the MAGA on the street. Everything you need to know. Devil's Advocates. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine. May 1st, we have, our, of course, our special edition where we get to talk with the Wood County Sheriff's Department for the entire hour. Sheriff Sean Becker in with us, along with our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We shout them out. Always like to get a jail update when we're talking, so let's go ahead and start right there.
Yeah, things are moving along quite nicely. Pretty much all the concrete is done on the inside of the building. You'll see driving by that a lot of concrete's going out for establishing the parking areas and things like that. But inside, really, is it's down to, you know, the painting, getting all the glass into the cell blocks. What I mean is the windows and things like that, pulling the wires. So it's coming together really well. I believe that it should be done sometime in October, and the goal will be occupied in January or February. But no, going really well, still within budget. I don't see that changing at all. So, things are going well. We talked a little bit about the programming rooms, how many there's going to be per floor. We just had a Mid-State Technical College come in, and one of the inmates graduated with their GED. That program's still going on, and we'll continue with that partnership. And then we have a recovery prod graduation coming up, too. We're going to have plenty of room to continue those programs. Now it's somewhat of a challenge just with the current facility, but you know, I just want people to know that that's a very important thing for us, and we're going to continue to expand upon that. But a couple of celebrations, you know, with people that are in custody that are doing something while they're there, which I admire.
Yeah, definitely. And that's really good to hear. Always good to hear. It's always encouraging. I think that's the kind of thing that everybody out there can take inspiration from.
Yeah.
I did have a listener ask a question the other day, and I thought, well, I could answer it, but I also encourage you to listen to the interview coming up Wednesday and everything. There were some questions about what or some uncertainty of what's going to happen with the old jail.
Sure. The next phase, once a new jail is done, the old jail will be torn down. It's gone beyond its life expectancy. Yeah. You know, the county board took a really strong look at that. What can we do? And if they try to do some remodeling, it's going to cost them more to do any remodeling within the facility than to tear it down. And then we'll have some green space, more parking available. And then I think in time, on the courthouse campus, they'll have an opportunity to expand if they need to. I know the River Block building, I don't exactly recall how long that lease is, but you know, they're going to have to deal with that. And with us vacating part of the building, they'll be able to bring some departments if they need to, if they want to, back from River Block, if that's going to be available. But you know, maybe 10, 20 years down the road, if the need is to build something or add on to the courthouse, and bring people back from River Block, that opportunity is going to be there. But the current jail, once we're moved out of it and we move into that next phase of the project, will get torn down.
I'm curious, and this isn't so much a question, just more of us talking as locals and everything. I'm curious to see how that area is going to develop once the jail is up and running, and some of the spots there get a little settled in, and what we're going to do here, what we're going to do there. That area has always, you know, done pretty well, you know, certainly with the bars and some of the other businesses that have been over there over the years. So it'll be interesting to see that tie into it with that and everything.
I think it's going to look really nice. I'd love to, you know, fast forward about a year, year and a half, and just to see what the courthouse campus is going to look like. The city's been working with the county really well on some, you know, parking options and things down that road. So nothing's finalized yet, but I think there's a good plan in place that I'm hoping will get, you know, pushed through, and that whole campus is going to look really nice.
Spent the first 20-some years of my life working in construction and building, and one of the things that we would always worry about or that happened every once in a while is you do out all these blueprints, everything planned, you got all your everything you need, you get working, and then you realize, oh, this isn't going to work, or oh, this isn't going to happen. We've been pretty fortunate when it comes to that.
A couple times it did, where some things with the supply chain were challenging that cost a little bit more than expected. But overall, you know, you're gonna, with a project that size, you're gonna have some issues come up, you know, here and there. But I'll tell you what, the issues that have come up have not been, you know, like, oh, we're gonna have to derail this project or even further, or we can't do it. No, you know, the Samuels Group out of Wausau our project manager, venture architects out of Milwaukee. They've been working just really well together. They've been awesome, and we've been very fortunate to work with both of them. And we got an opportunity to tour Trempealeau County's jail. They both worked with Samuels Group and Venture. Mm-hmm. Their jail is, I think, around 80 people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's quite a bit smaller than what we're going to have, but we got to walk through and just see, okay, what the end product is going to be. And it's very similar to what mm-hmm. we're getting. You know, there's some things that are different. You know, I really got to give our jail captain, Ted Ashbeck, a lot of credit. He's kind of our eyes and ears, our representative of mm-hmm. the Sheriff's Department with the new project, mm-hmm. you know, because he's caught a couple things that, you know, this isn't what we wanted, yeah. all right, change it, and they do, you know, yeah. it just, yeah. you know, mistakes do happen, but yeah. Ted's been phenomenal to work with and just be part of the project and seeing it through, and then our ground supervisor, Ruben Van Tassel, same thing, yeah. you know, you have two people that complement each other so well, and they have the county's best interests. You know, nothing against the companies that come in and do the project, but oh, yeah. They're there to do a job, get it done, and move on. We have to occupy this and use this facility for 50 years. Yeah. So we got to have people representing us to making sure it's getting done, and they've been doing a phenomenal job.
Getting to know Ted a little bit, he seems like the perfect guy for that job.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a really
very
good fit.
Very detail-oriented mm-hmm. and great memory. And yeah. yeah.
Appreciate that and the update. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
I know you have a lot of notes you come in with and a number of different things you want to get to. Is there anything you wanted to touch on here?
Yeah, it's just a tough moment. One of our retirees, Mike Mooley, passed away. We had his funeral last Monday. And, you know, he's an icon at the department. You know, he worked for us for over 40 years, and that is so rare in law enforcement. Yeah. You get, you know, usually people are looking at retirement after about 25 years, mm-hmm. especially at 30 years. People, hey, that's the goal. You know, I'm in my 50s. I got the time in, and the way it works out with us in the state retirement, we can retire a little mm-hmm. bit earlier than most people. And he kept plugging away. And the reason being, and I said that just to his family, I'm like, with that support at home, you know, mm-hmm. that family support, that loving support that gives us the opportunity to keep doing what we love, mm. you know. And he had a perfect partner with his wife Deb that was so supportive, and you know, we're lucky. The community was lucky to get Mike for 40 years. An icon is a perfect word for him because he started as a patrol deputy and then of course started moving his way up and through the ranks. And when I started, he was supervising the dispatch center when the sheriff's department still had it under control. And, you know, immediately you knew that he was like the employee's employee, but as a mm-hmm. supervisor, somebody mm-hmm. that you always could count on. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd step in, and even as a supervisor, you still come and do whatever needed to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's answer a call or go on the jail floor to help somebody mm-hmm. out or anything like that. You know, he's just a very supportive person. And if you had a question, he'd answer it. You know, he's just always there. And I got to know him when I started here much closer. He's one of our range officers or instructors. And I wasn't a great shot. And, you know, and I knew it. And mm-hmm. sort of the instructors, not only did Dave, and I'm sorry, Mike, but Dave Ryan and other people knew it as well. And Mike spent extra time with me. Mm-hmm. And that was very, very helpful and gratifying for me because, you know, you could see the improvements. You know, my goal is to like get on our SWAT team, and you know, here I'm a young deputy. I came from a small department, and I want, hey, look at all these opportunities. Yeah. But hey, one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And if you can't be proficient with a firearm, well, how can we trust you on the road? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so Mike was very, very helpful to me to get me through that. You know, that hump in my career to where I am now as far as with firearms. Mm-hmm. And I greatly appreciate that. But just a great person. You know, he's somebody that's brilliant. He could fix anything if you put it in front of him. He'd figure it out, and he'd fix it. And he didn't have a mean bone in his body. Mm-hmm. And it was a tough one to see leave because he's a very, you know, man of faith. Yeah. And I said this. I'm like, I really struggled with him leaving us because, you know, why would, you know, God take somebody not to get religious here, but here's somebody that shares his faith with people who want to listen. And, you know, he'd only been retired for 6 years, you know, and why would, you know, he be taken, you know, and, but, you know, with my struggle about it, you know, I reached out to our chaplains, you know, Dave and Dan, and had the conversation, and it boils down to it's, you know, I answered the why. If it's your time, it's your time, and you have to accept it. And then the reality is that the people left here in this world, you know, we have the memories that nobody can take away.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to read a poem that was very special to me called Footprints in the Sand at his funeral that really, you know, highlights, you know, when we're struggling, you know, somebody's got your back.
Yeah.
You know, but Mike will be missed. Like I said, a brilliant man. Just a good-hearted individual, and it's unfortunate that we all, especially his family, got kind of robbed with him leaving us way too early. But it's the harsh reality of life that we all go through.
I couldn't help, as you were describing this and talking about this and the situation and everything, feeling a little similarity with Carl. And immediately wanting to be thankful to Mike. I didn't know Mike. I didn't get to meet him or anything, but I do appreciate him. And I have gotten to know you. I have gotten to know a lot of your staff. And from what I can tell, his influence is felt in the trickled effect of that. So as somebody who appreciates you and your team, I can really appreciate Mike. I don't mean to go off into a side area here, but it is something that I wanted to get into with you a little bit. This week, we do our National Day of Calendar on our morning show on WIRI and everything. And one of the things we were celebrating this week is military families.
And
you know, shouting them out and appreciating them, you know, how important that is for our soldiers. And that is great. We need to do that more and more in society. Something else we could afford to do in society is appreciating police families and sheriff families and some of that. We don't see a lot of that. We don't do a lot of that as a society. And you know better than I do. Well, we all know this. None of us are here without somebody else. Yeah. Somebody helped us get here, whether it is a hand up or it is information they gave us or just it currently with the having somebody there with you. None of us get through life alone. So being able to, you know, have more moments to be able to shout out, you know, our police families and some of that. And that's something that Mike led us into here, too.
Yeah. No, I appreciate hearing that. You know, in the month of May, I think it's the third week is Police Week.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at that. But I know it's this month. And Marshall Police Department does a service up there that we take part in. And then Donna Madison, they do as well, where it's pretty moving. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're honoring the people that the Wisconsin law enforcement officers that, you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice to, you know, patrol or be part of a community and somebody took their life. So I appreciate hearing that because it's not an easy career. You know, we lose too many people to suicide after they leave our profession. We're working on that, but we always can do better. But it's gratifying to hear, you know, you say that, James, that we should do that. And like I've said before, it never gets old when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, thank you for your service. It's that means something to all of us because too often now we don't hear that.
Yeah.
And we're in a situation where somebody's not cooperating with us and then people judge us for no reason, you know, just because they're not a supporter of law enforcement. But we all know that. In our hearts that most people do.
Good. Yeah. And Mike, we appreciate your service. We thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We thank you, Mike.
Great man. He'll be missed.
Very much. Wanted to get into salary talk a little bit with you.
Yeah. We had an issue come up, you know, with our salaries within our organization. You know, stepping back a little bit, you know, a few months ago when the state passed their budget, the corrections officers for the state, the prison system, got a really big pay jump, and you know, well deserved. And I'm not complaining about that, but I knew that you know they were making about the same hourly rate as our corrections officers here, and with most you know county jails. But with that pay jump to start, you know, almost you know $10 to $12 an hour, how do you compete with that?
Yeah.
So the first thing that the county did pretty quickly was a pay adjustment to our corrections officers, and I really feel in central Wisconsin we were probably one of the first agencies to get on this quickly because we didn't want to lose anybody to the state. We want to take care of our employees, especially when we have a new facility that we're opening up. Well, as we looked at all of our salaries, you know, we do still have a union for the deputy sheriffs, mm-hmm. so their raises are established. And what we found out with their hourly rates and other benefits, our sergeants were making more of than our patrol lieutenants.
Hmm.
And that was pointed out to me in our administration. And I'm like, okay, well, we have a compression issue.
Hmm.
So I took it to human resources and laid it out. Here are the issues. What can we do? And I'll be honest, Kim McGrath, our HR director, was awesome. She looked at it, researched it even more, agreed. So we're in the process now of making those salary adjustments for our upper administration.
Hmm.
And that's very important, because if you look at, the future of your organization, you have to take care of them with not only salary but benefits. And there was a pretty big difference between the people that are in the union and the people that aren't in the union. We should try to be at least comparable, at least with benefit-wise. Mm. And then obviously salary, the more you move up a rank, the more you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
So next week we meet with another committee for the county board, and we'll discuss that. And hopefully we can get that through, because it'd be very... I'm really proud of the fact, not only with our HR director, but our team coming together and saying, okay, how can we solve this? What are the ways we can do that? And I'm confident that we'll get it through, and it'll make our team better.
We've talked about this before. It can be difficult already to recruit people for this mm-hmm. industry, and staying competitive county-wise, state-wise is mm-hmm. vital going forward to not only keeping good people but bringing in new people, recruiting good people.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear that you and everybody being on point on that, getting yeah. on that right away. Not I appreciate so often whenever we come into something where it wouldn't be far-fetched to say a year from now we're having the same conversation.
Yeah.
But we're behind the eight ball. We're behind yeah. on it. You guys are ahead of a lot of these things, getting ahead of the curve on some of that stuff. And for everything we can, it only benefits us, because we all know that there's tons of stuff we have no idea what's coming.
Right.
Tomorrow brings a whole new set of problems, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So it's really encouraging to hear. And it's important also to people out there, especially anybody young out there listening
yeah.
and looking about what career to get into.
Yeah.
Here's a wonderful career. I know I talk to a lot of young people that are getting into the arts and everything. And one of the main things I tell them is have a day job. You can chase your dream, have a day job. Don't be a struggling artist, be a surviving artist.
Yeah.
And most of them are like, the big thing that they're looking for is, what is an industry that I know is going to be there in 5 or 10 years? Well, here's one. Here's definitely an industry that's going to be there in 10, 15 years.
We're
and everything.
Not gonna go away.
Yeah. No. So it's certainly something to think about as well.
Yeah. Like I said, it'll set up, the future of the department. When you look at people that are willing to, all right, I want to get into a leadership role. And it's not about the money. You're not going to get rich,
no.
but, you're going to see that you're going to be taken care of fairly.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. And again, a big shout out to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Got a couple minutes left, sir. I did
yeah.
have one thing I was going to end up on. Did you have something anything else you wanted to add?
Shout out to Vince Beagle. Vince
yeah.
is going to come back in town. I had connected with him through his dad, Rocky. We've got a conference that we're putting up, and the Badger Sheriff's Association meets or trains every quarterly. And we're hosting it in Wood County up in Marshfield. And I was helping out set that conference up. And I'm like, well, we can get a speaker in. And so we reached out, and he's coming. So
awesome.
Big shout out to Vince and his family. It's not easy when he's a young man with a family that, he lives in Florida and is going to make the, going to come up to do a speech for
yeah.
us and hang out with probably, about 2/3 of the sheriffs that are in Wisconsin. So very, very proud of him to make the sacrifice to come up and spend some time with us. And, he'll get a chance to hang out with his family as well.
Yeah, he's going to see. Yeah, Midwesterners, we always want to come back. It's always nice to be able to do that. Shout out to have a local favorite come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good to hear. Good on him.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up. I did want to mention, on a good note, a really fun note, you guys got a new dog, I heard?
Yeah.
Is that why you're tired? Is that
yeah.
why?
Yeah, a little bit. No, we had both Julie and I grew up with collies, and then when we had our family, we got a collie, and And she lasted about 11 years. And, you know, that moment that we all go through is so hard. And I'm like, never again. We're never going to get it done.
Never.
Nope. And it had been 8 years, and I didn't realize Julie had connected with a breeder up in the UP. And, you know, and she talked about it a few times, and I just must have had a weak moment. I said, that's fine. Let's go get the dog.
Yeah.
So we did. And, no, it's been going good. We had her about 2 weeks. She had her first local vet appointment. Breeder was really good, but she's a puppy, so
yeah,
that's why my eyes are a little you know, glazed over a little bit.
Yeah.
But hey, it'll all be worth it then.
Now oh yeah,
get the trainer the way you know we should and or want to, and
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And good on you guys, good on you for it. Enjoy, have fun.
Yeah, we'll, when we talk next month, we'll see how I feel.
And especially since I said that, now I almost kind of like volunteered for dog sitting. So you kind of put
okay.
I kind of walked into that.
This is being
one.
Recorded.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
It?
It's all documented now. So.
Okay, I like it.
Always
like
appreciate it. The time for me, man. Thank you so much for everything. And a gigantic thank you to you, your team, everything you do for this community. You are appreciated. We see you. We're looking out for you. Stay safe out there. Thanks again
for
the time.
Always appreciate coming.
Want to send a big thank you as well to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them. Keep up to date on all the work that they are doing over there. Go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page and keep up to date on that work. Say hi to everybody over there for us. And before we wrap up, sir, I did want to give people information on how they can reach out to you. I keep calling you sir. Now it's one of those things where it's in my head. Now it's like, so I'm just doing it for that.
We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, well, off air. Off air. Well, if people do want to contact you about the meet or some of the other things coming
up. Give me a call. I mean, you can check us out on Facebook or just give us a call. 715-421-8701's dispatch. Otherwise, my direct line, 421-8705.
Appreciate you. Thanks for the time, Sean.
You bet.
Well, and more Midday Magazine for you coming up on tomorrow on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day, he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk with the Milwaukee County Zoo about why it's important to keep the Endangered Species Act and all things sports with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Big changes on abortion in Arizona and Florida today. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Jacksonville.
Starting this morning, women in Florida became subject to an abortion ban so extreme it applies before many women even know they are pregnant.
In Arizona, the legislature repealed a near total abortion ban from 1864. The White House is condemning protests that are turning more violent across the country. CBS's Carter Evans is at UCLA.
This has been declared an unlawful assembly here at UCLA right now, this encampment. Police have cleared out the counter-protesters. They were clearly on the pro-Israel side, but they have not cleared out the Palestinian encampment yet.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Israel pushing a ceasefire deal ahead of a planned invasion of Gaza. CBS's Deborah Pata.
He's here in a last-ditch bid to secure a deal to stave off the rougher offensive and ensure Gaza is flooded with humanitarian aid.
CBS News Brief.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local